Due to popular request, Dizzard is back here with the intro. You're listening to Omnis Protocols. I'm Dizzard, not Omnis, but he's here too. Welcome.
thanks for having me, Dizzard. This is really nice. Of course. long time listener, first time caller. My name is Omnis. Thanks for getting me on the Dizzy D Protocol show.
Oh man, that's the way it be. So we're here to talk about your slightly disappointing Avengers Splash X-Force. okay, there's my shade. I'll leave it at that. Okay. So
I mean, so how, there's no way that you're more disappointed in me than I am disappointed in me.
I mean,
and three is certainly not what I hope for.
I mean, I'm more so just disappointed that you panicked last minute and didn't trust the X-Force.
I will say, of all of my last minute panic decisions that were bad, like putting in Fisk was a mistake.
Yes.
I think the actual decision to put in Avengers was actually really smart. Mm-hmm. I just didn't think through the decision well enough, because I actually think the combo, it's interesting. So we'll talk about the games in a second. But I did hit a point during the event where I was like, did I just make a bad roster? Like, did I just totally fuck up and bring a bad roster? And then after kind of thinking it through more, I actually think the X-Force Avengers combo was actually like a really interesting and strong combination. But there's kind of some lessons that I learned from the event that I think we'll get into that would have made other changes more necessary.
Absolutely. So I guess for the listeners, we're going to be talking about how, I guess, a review of the last episode we did together, where we're talking about the WTC X-Force Avengers list, and how it went and things that'll change and things just talk about how it went. Now I want to comment real quick on what you're saying. Like, I think the Avengers Flex was a good thing. I do agree. I don't think Hulk is necessary, but I do actually like the Sam inclusion. I think it covers a spot where X-Force still struggles, and that's going to be a wide scenario where Sam performs really well. And a game like going into a very, very kill list where I want to go wide as possible and abuse Sam's leadership. I love those spots where X-Force really kind of falls flat. They can't keep up with the killing, or they can't keep up with the score, and being able to go Sam helps a lot with that. So I'm not going to fault you at all for going Sam. I don't like a six thread in here. I really don't.
I'm just going to like very briefly recap the games. I'm really going to try to take less than a minute per game, but I want to give the listeners like just an idea. And I'm going to preface this all with, because this is a WTC event, I don't think there was a single round where myself as captain prioritized me getting good matchups. We realized very, very quickly that if we could keep Amon out of a couple of specific counters to Guardians, and we could keep, Alex Web Warriors and Blair's foes out of a couple of specific matchups, that they were very advantaged. And so one of my biggest takeaways from the whole event, which is not something I kind of thought about until we were literally in the pairing process at the event, is that X-Force has a lot of like 55-45s, and maybe the best matchup that X-Force is going to have is maybe like 60-40, where there are other teams out there that have worse matchups to avoid, but also have other matchups where they're extremely advantaged. And I'm not sure there's a single matchup in the game right now that I would be like, X-Force is better than 60-40 on, which is probably a good thing. There shouldn't actually be that many of those. But once I was realizing that in the pairing process, it didn't make sense to prioritize getting me a 55-45 when I could instead prioritize getting Webs like a 70-30. Right. Yeah. Like it didn't make sense to like put effort towards that. And so I think I was playing in a lot of matchups that were like 50-50. And I will say, like, even with the winning record, I don't think I was actually in any bad matchups. I think any of my games could have gone the other way. So with all that said, round one, I was playing against Winter Guard. What happened was, is he won priority and then took his own extracts, and then I gave him Fisk. And so immediately I'm suffering the consequences of putting in Fisk, where I'm now giving Fisk to Winter Guard, which might be their best secure. And I immediately was regretting having Fisk. But with that said, I still felt like I could build a very good team. I chose 16 to trap him out of playing I-Hulk. And I think that decision was smart. But this was the round that I played X-Force, and I probably should have played Avengers. The whole point of putting in Fisk was that I was going to play Sam, Cage or Deadpool, Hulk, and Logan. And that was going to be super abusive on Fisk at 16. But I didn't want to start the event playing Avengers. And this is the one game out of the event where this was just a dice game. And we were laughing about it the whole time. Swedish Troll was a great opponent, but my characters just could not live. It was just like dying to five dice attacks left and right. He actually made a very risky play at one point and moved Bucky, who is holding one of the alien ships, and like moved them back onto the point against Logan. And as soon as he did it, he regretted it and kind of saw the consequences. But then Bucky one-shots Logan. And Logan actually got one-shot three times in the game. Like, it just, he couldn't, like, it was a spender, but he didn't even have to roll the assault rifle shot. He just, like, got one shot. And so I was just playing from behind the whole time. My characters couldn't stay alive. And then it was, I needed to, Deadpool needed to stay alive, injured, always getting plus two dice from Cable. And he had a reroll. And he just had to live through 2 5 dice attacks from Crimson Dynamo. And Crimson Dynamo still kills him. And like inversely, like if you look at average odds, right, that's a situation where Deadpool might only take like 2 or 3 damage. 5 dice, reroll 1 versus 5 dice, no rerolls. But whatever, it was a dice game. Swedish Troll and I had a great game. Team still won that round. It was not the end of the world, but it was just a weird way to kind of like start off the day. Round two, I was playing against Poulet, and this is the polar opposite. Poulet just literally outplayed me the whole time. He outlisted me. It was Meteors and Deadly Legacy Virus. He chose 17. He chose a great list against me. This was a round that I played Avengers, and I probably should have stuck to my guns and played X-Force. But in my head, I wanted both Logan and Psylocke, and I wanted to play 5 wide. And I kind of regretted not playing Avengers in the first game, and I didn't want to have that feeling again. And so I played Deadpool, Logan, Psylocke, Luke Cage, and Sam. But the problem was, like, Angela still gave me fits. And, like, there's a lot of things that happened in the game. We had a round where he and I both made a mistake, but he held himself to the first mistake. He didn't even ask me if he could take it back, which was he didn't put out his winging it tokens. And he specifically said, he's like, nope. And it was still, like, his first round when he realized, but he was like, I didn't put him out. This is WTC. I'm not taking it back. And I just absolutely respected him for it. And then my first activation, cause he was trying to use Drax to kill cause I had already like dazed Drax. And I realized I beamed with Logan, and then I rolled 5 dice on all the attacks and not 7. Just because Logan's such bullshit, I forget that he can roll 7 dice. But I certainly was not going to ask for a take back, even though we were still in Logan's activation. And like in a normal game, I probably would have been just like, can I roll 2 more dice against each of those targets? Because I don't think there was any play. But he, that same round, he had just not taken the take backs for the token. And so I certainly was not going to ask for that take back. But I think my mistake ended up backfiring me on way more. It just ended up with Nebula doing way too much work because she stayed alive, even though she got beam 7, you know, twice.
That's what Nebula does now. It's insane. She needs to change. The more I see Nebula, I'm like, why is nobody playing this character for a while? Like, she's just so
well, good. It was just like I had a lot of opportunities to kill her, and I just was like, always didn't. Anyway, it was just like this game, but it wasn't a dice game. I feel like both Poulet and I had fairly average dice. And it just push come to shove, Poulet just outplayed me every step of the way. Like I said, his list was really good. It was Star-Lord, Bill, Angela, Nebula, and Drax. And it was just a really fucking good list. And Angela just created really big problems for me with, like, there was size fours on, like, both sides. And it was just, like, there was nowhere that I could pick up a virus and then not just eat a size four terrain throw to the face. It was rough. Going into round three, I get Midnight Suns. We were playing Extremis and Montesi. And then I got to choose threat level. I think that was what it was. But anyway, this game fundamentally came down to I-Hulk was beating the shit out of Deadpool and X-23 on one side of the board, but Daredevil was just a fucking champion for me, and he just murders Iron Fist because he's throwing the batons with a reroll and, like, ignoring the cover from where where Iron Fist was. And so I get that extract off of him. So then I have an extract advantage, and then I just kind of retreat away from I-Hulk. And I ended up I-Hulk got an advantage matchup with, you know, him facing off against 2-3 threats. But then on the other side of the table, that ended up with Blade against Cable, which is kind of awful for Blade.
That's what you want.
And so, yeah. And so just like I cave in and like I have an advantage on the other side of the table and I'm able to run away with an extract. And this was just a game where like the fucking ninjas were just like bullshit being able to keep one book like totally out of the fight. That was huge. And Daredevil was a rock star for me this game. So I was able to take that one and at least have a win for X-Force. I was like, holy fuck, am I not representing well for X-Force so far? And then day two, end up playing against Criminals. And this was by far the best game of the tournament. I played Avengers into Kingpin, and it was such a good game. And I was behind. He was scoring 4-3 to me like every round, because it was, you know, there was a 3 extracts and, you know, 4 secures. And what ends up happening is I'm getting attrition work done, and I made one mistake. Even though I was behind the curve the whole time, I made this one mistake, and I Avengered assembled Hulk, and it was just absolutely a catastrophic mistake. It meant the next turn, not only did I not have Avengers assemble, I put Hulk into a worse position, and Hulk was one power shy of scoring an extra VP, which ended up being a huge issue down the road, because even though I was crushing it on attrition, what had happened was, is he was just going to win one turn too fast, where I think in the end, I could have had the score go 16-15, but that would have been pointless. And he was just out of range of Sam walking and going for the spender. And so I just had to I charge with Sam and throw 2 shields to see if I can kill Ulic, which is obviously dicey as fuck. But yeah, it was just one of those games where even though I was behind the whole time, it was one that if he makes kind of even a single mistake, I was able to come back in. And I needed a lot of things to go my way to kind of stay in that game. And they did. And it was just like Hulk punishes Kingpin. And it's just like, it's a hard pill to swallow when I realized my Avengers Assemble was that bad. But my opponent was absolutely fantastic, great opponent. And we were like, and literally it was like determining which team wins was coming down to this game. And it was also crazy because every time I looked at the clock, he and I had the same amount of time. It was like, every time I looked, it was like, you have 10 minutes, 30 seconds. I have 10 minutes, 50 seconds. It was always that close. And so I lose that one just barely, but one of those great games, easily one of my top 5 games of all time. And then round 5, I'm playing against Brotherhood, and I look at his secures, love him, tell him, I think I won priority. So I was like, dude, we're playing on your secures. And so we end up with Skrulls and Mutant Madmen. And this was a really important game for me, learning what some of the problems was. Cause as soon as I was playing Madmen, and so we ended up playing Mutant Madmen at 20, and I felt like a surgeon being back on a pay to flip, like, and I decimated that game. And so, yeah, so that's the brief synopsis. And so now we can kind of get back into the questions, but I figured that sets the baseline for what my games were like. And obviously I could go, there was a lot of really interesting decisions kind of across the, all of those games, but we don't need to cover all that in this episode. Now it's kind of focusing on how I feel about it afterwards. So Dizzard, where do you want to go from here?
Well, I wanted to talk about your game too, because I think it brings up a very good point, and mostly because of the fact that you mentioned I really wanted to play Logan and Psylocke at the same time. And I think this brings up the point of being too attached to a character can potentially lead to misplays and team squad construction. Because to me, this is absolutely an X-Force game, and you're going cable five wide. You're going heavy on the threes with 1-4.
Yeah, I think in retrospect, Psylocke was not as important as I thought she was going to be. Realizing in retrospect, I should have had a better idea of what he was going to play and just how much this was actually going to be a melee game. Mm-hmm. And also, like, my Psylocke just never seems to be awesome. And like, there was a round where she rolled 2 7 dice attacks into Winter Soldier and doesn't daze him.
I think you should just stop playing Psylocke because she hates you. I don't know what to tell you, because every time we talk about this, I'm like, I don't understand this, because every time I play Psylocke, I'm like, Psylocke is amazing. And then you're like, I don't understand this Psylocke is amazing you speak of, because my Psylocke just like takes fat shits every day.
So there was certainly opportunities for Psylocke to bring things back in for me, and I thought it would work. But yeah, I think in retrospect, I absolutely should have stuck with X-Force, and I should have just played the exact list that I had always imagined playing on Meteors, which was Cable, X-23, Deadpool, Okoye, and Logan. And I absolutely should have played that. And I did make, there's this point where Drax, so I'd already dazed Drax. I think it was the start of round three. He's like, I got to activate Drax before Drax potentially just leaves the table. And tries to go for Logan, which I do think is a mistake, because Logan is like the most unkillable character in this situation. I have Sacrifice, Brace, and Exceptional. The chance of Drax killing Logan is so unlikely. He just should have gone for dazing someone else. But he had the token on Logan. Now, the mistake that I made is I had a point where I could have played Exceptional, and I chose to sacrifice to Psylocke, because Psylocke didn't have the token, and it was going to separate the bleed, and it seemed smart in the moment, but at the end of the game, I still had Exceptional.
Oh, no. That's not what you want.
And it was a game where literally if I had Sacrifice, there would have been a play to protect Luke Cage, who was holding two viruses. Anyway, it was... I think my subtle decision in that department was a mistake. And so I had a core list that I should have played there. Mm-hmm. And I didn't.
I think this comes back to you develop a plan, you develop a criteria. We go back to when I was playing Hellfire Club X-Force. I had very specific criteria of what I was doing when I was doing it, just like you did with this. You have very specific criteria of when you're doing what, and then you're like, but I really want to play this. And then that I really want to play this feeling always bites you in the ass. Every time I've been playing a game and I'm like, I have this criteria, I should be playing this, and I go, but I want to play this instead, it bites me in the ass every single time.
I mean, I will say that having Luke Cage in that particular matchup was very helpful. But yeah, obviously, I mean, it wasn't, I felt like I literally, like, that was the game that's probably of any game of MCP that I've played in any tournament ever. This is probably the game where I felt the most outmatched.
Yeah.
Like I have never in any MCP game felt like this disadvantaged when I wasn't just like testing out random shit in the shop and just realizing like, oh shit, I don't have a fucking kingpin plan or something.
This isn't going to work.
You know, where you're like, Yeah, it's just, but Poulet is really fucking good. Like, yeah. It's, there's no, yeah, there's never, you know, I'm not going to feel bad losing to a guy like Poulet. He's just a really fucking great player. And he was also absolutely playing Guardians, probably the best thing in the game at the moment. And I still made it, you know, hopefully reasonably difficult. But yeah, I think one of my fundamental takeaways is that I did not have enough practice with the roster, especially after the Avengers change before WTC. Mm-hmm. And this, it kind of plays into my overall thought of like what actually ends up being the like the most deciding factor in games. And I really legitimately feel like the answer to this is just like, how practiced are you in this specific matchup? And I just always felt almost every game that I was playing in a situation where my opponent was more practiced into the matchup than I was. And that was a consequence of switching to something with a limited window to test it. Do I think overall I had a good roster? Yes. Are there changes that I would make? Abso-fucking-lutely.
let's start with that. I want to start with Crises, because we you said Fisk earlier, and when I looked at your list after it was submitted, I just wanted to scream at my screen, because I remember vividly telling you Fisk was a bad idea. Like, don't do Fisk.
I mean, I don't. We talked a lot of things in a lot of different directions, so I don't.
Yeah, it was early on. It was early on because I was like, I want to try Fisk. I think Fisk might work here, and it was like very early on after the cable change, and I was like, I want to try Fisk to see if this is gonna work. And I remember saying, okay, Fisk is a terrible idea. It's okay, but there's so many bad matchups with this. It's not going to work. But yeah,
well, I think in theory with the Avengers flex, it wasn't a horrible idea.
True.
But I do think my Crisis selection was the worst part of the roster. Mm-hmm. And so if I could go back, I would not be playing Fisk. Would absolutely not be a part of it, but I would do something really weird, which would also end up affecting the roster. And like, if I was just going, how would I change this roster? If I could just go back in time, you know, and knowing everything else about the WTC would be the same, except obviously if I change things in my roster, that it would then potentially impact who chooses me as their opponent. I would almost certainly drop Fisk. Mm-hmm. And there is a good chance that I would change my roster to being at least two pay to flips. Which ones it would be, I'm not 100% sure, but there is a non-zero chance that this would be for my personal strength as a player. I might actually just play Meteor, Spider Portals, and Mutant Madmen.
So because I was going to say, if I was to do anything, I keep telling people this when they say, what type of attrition is X-Force? X-Force is a wide game plan, not character wide, but like spread out wide. They're really good at wide game plan attrition because they have
win mobility. One-on-one matchups, right? Yes. Like they want to, they can beat a lot of characters one-on-one, or they can outposition some of the bigger boys.
I actually really like Spider Portals for them because they can handle those fights really, really well.
Yeah, so one of the big things that I ended up noticing is that, like, in theory, going into this, I thought that I had a mixture of secures and extracts that would make people just go, like, but that's not what happened. What actually happened was is most of the time when people looked at my list, they would choose their extracts and then take my secures, which was mm-hmm. so bad for me because I didn't have enough secures that were the threat levels that I wanted to play. And yeah. So what would happen is I would end up on like 17 or 16. And in my hopes was if I lose priority, at least I'm getting a threat level that I want. And then that didn't work out because I would lose priority and then not get to play at my preferred threat levels because I was getting my secures. And so I think if I had to make an immediate decision right now and change nothing else about my roster but Crisis cards, I would be playing Meteor, Spider Portals, and Mutant Madmen.
I like that.
I would like to change other things as well, but I just think maybe that's not the best thing for every X-Force player, but I think with the fact that I could play Avengers and like my mixture of characters, I think that would have that would have helped a lot. I do think there's the argument of maybe I keep intrusions instead of meteors so that when someone, if someone were to choose their extracts, my secures, then I would have 19, 18, 18. And so either way, I'm getting threat levels that I want.
I agree
even
with
if
that.
It's, so yeah, I think that would be something. And honestly, if I would go back to playing this roster, I would probably start from that spot and just be like, all right, I'm going to play a lot of pay to flips and like force people out of their game plans and like fight on my level, which I think would have done a better job of giving me an advantage.
Yeah. I think the other thing that hurts your list is number one, WTC, the team format. The 16 and 17, you say 16 and 17 is a struggle point. To me, that is literally because Psylocke doesn't help you because you're you and Psylocke doesn't like you. yeah. And two, you don't have Wolverine or Colossus. And by far, 16 and 17 is the only reason, and I'm going to say this here, and I haven't said it anywhere else, but 16 and 17 are probably the only reasons why you're still playing Colossus and Wolverine in X-Force. Because Logan is just better. I'll say it. I'm wrong. Logan is just better. Colossus is good, but he's not the knees bees or the bees knees. But it's like you need them for when you hit 17 or you hit 16. You're going to need at least one of them in your list to be able to make that threat value.
Yeah, I think I will say I thought I was going to regret not having Colossus. Mm-hmm. And I would absolutely be playing Colossus if I was playing a pure X-Force roster, or maybe even if I was playing X-Force X-Men, I would probably be playing him. But I will say that like in the matchups that I had, there was no point that I would have chosen Colossus in any of the matchups. So that decision didn't actually bite me in the ass. I will say one of my biggest takeaways is that I should absolutely be playing Daredevil more. Because in general, Daredevil was a fucking rock star for me, like next level rock star. I did make a crucial mistake in my game against Team Ragnarok, which was the fourth round opponent, Criminals. I really was trying to hold off one more activation before activating Daredevil round one because I wanted to put Daredevil on the midline and I wanted to minimize how many attacks he was going to take. And I didn't, and I waited one more activation and then my opponent passed because I had a grunt character and I knew he could do it. This didn't surprise me. This wasn't like a debate. I was just hoping that was a mistake. The consequence of that, I don't think I realized just how bad it was when I made the decision to not activate Daredevil. I knew it when I was specifically going, do I activate Daredevil right now? But the risk would be that I'm putting him on a secure, which means that he may get an extra attack on him, which I would really kind of like to avoid. Or I activate someone else. It's a little bit safer and hope that my opponent doesn't pass.
Well,
my opponent was just too good to try to pull that one on.
The other thing is we talked about how Cable wants to go before he dies because Cable's defenses aren't that great. We can all say that. So he wants to go before he dies. And how you do that is maintaining priority or getting priority. And you do that by playing grunt characters early.
Well, let me say, when you're playing against Criminals and they win priority and they get to go first and last on round one, really bad.
That's rough.
Really, really bad.
That is rough.
So yeah, I will probably be very active about activating my grunt characters early, but I cannot stress how much Daredevil was fucking nuts for me.
And I completely agree with that. And in testing, I could not decide for the life of me if Daredevil, Elektra, or Fury was the call. They all bring perks and they all do different things. I think in this current meta of so much kill going on, it might be Daredevil because his defenses are just top notch, especially with Cable being able to boost his defense. And that's probably my biggest argument for saying Daredevil is the one to do right now. That might change if we go into a more scenario focused meta, then it's probably Electra. And then if it's a hybrid meta, then it's Fury. And that's kind of where I'm at with it right now. But I think the call was right to go with Daredevil.
Yeah, Daredevil's absolutely not a decision that I regret. I just found lots of ways to utilize his overall kit. And the more I played him, the more I'm just like adamantly against the concept that he's a boring potato. Mm-hmm. I used everything on his card more than I think any other character in the list, where mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm actively making strikes, I'm actively making baton throws, I'm actively using his spender, like I'm actively doing interesting things with the ninjas. And I mean, sometimes that interesting thing is literally just fucking run away with an extract. But and then like where you put the ninjas so that you could potentially double move them to set up for a spender like late game. Yeah, Daredevil, like I played him more than Logan, and I think that was absolutely the right call.
Mm-hmm. I can agree. What about Hulk? To me, Hulk's a mistake here, but I want to hear your final thoughts on that.
Well, I would say that Hulk is not a mistake. Mm-hmm. I should have played him in my round one game. That was part of the plan. And then I didn't play him. He was very, very good. And when I did get 20 threat, he really rounded out the team nicely, and I was happy with that decision. There's a part of me that wonders if I should have played around utilizing Hulk in round two against Poulet. Maybe that would have been good, because he didn't have a lot of firepower in the same way. And so I could have played something like Sam, Hulk, Luke Cage, Deadpool, and then Okoye would all fit. And maybe that would have actually been better. Like, as good as Logan and Psylocke are, I think that would have actually been really good in that situation. Like, maybe Deadpool's actually X-23. But I think that could have been, very strong as well. I wasn't experienced enough with it to know in the moment when I should and should not play Hulk. But I think Hulk could have caused problems in my round two. But at the very least, I liked what it did. I had multiple people ask me like, oh, you know, like, why didn't you play Hulk? And obviously people were thinking about the Hulk a lot. Mm-hmm. And I do think that in the WTC format, especially, projecting multiple threat avenues just creates more situations for your opponent to make mistakes. And it obviously creates more situations for me to make mistakes too. But I did not feel that Hulk was a mistake. If anyone else on my team wanted him, then I probably would have passed on him, and I could have come up with something, you know, nearly as good to play in that slot. But because no one on my team needed him, then it was a natural fit. Like, obviously we could go back and change things. I don't want to like trash talk Danny on the show. I'll only do that when he's on. But Danny didn't do very well. And I think part of that is my fault. Cause I heavily encouraged the team to add shield somewhere. There was a point where I was playing shield. There was a point where Alec was playing shield. And then Danny took shield at a certain point. And obviously that did not pan out for our team. Mm-hmm. And so knowing what I know, I think I probably could have we could have shifted things so Danny could have stuck with Avengers. And I don't think that would have, I mean, maybe we have to take Bill away from Amon. But I think if we had Danny playing Avengers and then I round out my roster slightly differently, I think that would have made for a better team than having Danny play Shield. And like I said, I take responsibility for that. I thought the team would benefit from Shield, and that didn't play out the way that I had hoped that it would.
Fair enough. And the last one is Okoye.
Overall, when I did play Okoye, she was fine. And I would actually say, as much as like when we were talking about this before the event and how much I probably would have preferred to have Wong, I think Okoye was really good. Like, she actually exceeded my expectations. The last time I tried her in X-Men, I was so upset that I played her over Toad. And it was like such a big mistake. There were so many moments that Toad would have just been straight up better. And the things that I liked about Okoye just didn't matter in any of my games. However, in this event, I actually thought Okoye did pretty well. I don't think any of my teammates brought Toad. So there absolutely could have been the argument that playing Toad would have been slightly better, because I did have some situations where it would have been nice to have someone that maybe could have held an extract just like a little bit better. And Toad being able to grab an extract from range two does matter in like the five health. But overall, I'm pretty happy with the Okoye decision and like how that worked overall. Could I have considered Toad there? I think sure. But that in this moment, I feel like that's just like a side grade in the games and such that I got. Yeah, Okoye was solid. I actually maybe think that I should have played her a little bit more and was maybe shied away. Like, maybe that's part of why I shied away from playing the X-Force Logan Okoye list, is because I was worried about Okoye underperforming. But that just, it didn't end up being the case over the course of the event. I thought she was really solid.
Nice. And then I guess because your other characters, Cable, Deadpool, Psylocke, 23, like, I don't think we need to talk about those. Luke Cage does what Luke Cage does, and Sam does what Sam does. And then Tactics, Brace Sack, to me, is just the X-Force special Brace Sack. Sometimes lean away from Brace. I know Nigel is leaning away from Brace again. Exceptional is exceptional. Mission Objective, that's a big one for me, because I don't really like running Mission Objective in X-Force. I never really feel like I have the opportunity to play it successfully. How did it work out for you?
I think the only time that I took Mission Objective ended up being a situation where I had no opportunities to ever play it, with just how the game played out. I think it's something that maybe, I don't remember what my tactics cards were when I played against Poulet, but maybe if I had take, I don't think I had Mission Objective because there was just too many cards that I wanted to take in that matchup. Mm-hmm. I think if I had taken Mission Objective, it may have been easier for me to not get behind on the extracts and grab one and like be planning that if they kill that character, that I'm set up to Mission Objective it to someone else. Might have been a legitimate plan. And so I do think that one was a good card overall for the roster, even though I don't think I made good use out of it. I do think that I would like to make room for Fallback, because I don't think I had Fallback. No. And there was a lot of situations where I felt like Fallback would have been really good.
That's like, for me, it's like Mission Objective or Fallback. And 10 times out of 10, I use Fallback in a game. Mission Objective, I can't say the same. What about it's Pretty Sneaky?
I did not end up playing Pretty Sneaky, Sis, at all in the event. I don't think it was a mistake to bring it, because I could have just as easily been playing Poulet on fucking Gamma or Demons or something and been really desperately happy to have Pretty Sneaky, Sis. And so I don't think it was a mistake to include it. I did not end up playing it at all, though. So maybe that reinforces for the people that, like, when it's useful is too rare for it to matter. But I also did not play Second Wind at all. But then I didn't play Cubes, and I also elected to not play Avengers when I actually did play Fisk, which was part of the reason for putting in that card. So I think, especially since I wanted to drop Fisk, I think that Second Wind probably becomes Fallback.
Fair enough. All right, so let's move on to, if you were going to go like back, what would your changes be? trying to think how to word this, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, so you still mean like specifically for WTC?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing would be I would change up the crisis selection. And I would want my secures to be more uncomfortable for a larger amount of the field. And I think that means that I'm playing flip secures, because that just means that like it's way more likely that I'm going to feel like I'm more practiced in my secures than my opponents are. Yeah. And so with that, what does that mean for the rest of the roster? It does mean that, like, if nothing else changed about my team, I would probably be asking Amon if it were possible for me to take Bill. I don't know. I can't remember if I've asked him like how much he played Bill over the course of his five games and how important it was. I have not had that conversation with him. But I think overall, switching to pay to flips and having Bill and then also making room for Eyes on the Prize probably would have been smart overall. And so, like, obviously on one side, you got the flip secures, which people are probably not surprised that Omnus wants to play more of those. And then Bill was the most played character in the event. And so having a person go, I would like to have had Bill in my roster. Probably not a surprise either.
Why not Hela?
Part of it is the overall durability. And then also having access to the throw.
Yeah.
Just because, oh God, in my last round game, it was a Juggernaut and Hulk on the other side of the table. So the ability to throw those, medium would be huge. Potentially lining, Bill up against iHulk, it would also be useful. And it was just like, in general, I think Bill's ability to bounce around the pay to flips would be very useful. Hela would probably be a fine alternative, and she was someone that I was considering. But I think threatening the throws, as well as the ability to just potentially get some of the terrain off the table so it's not fucking getting thrown at me, would also be really fucking helpful.
Agreed. Anything else you would change?
For WTC, like, because I have mentally moved on to like, I want to think about other things and I want to try new core set characters. I have not put enough thought into it to be like, this is the exact way that I would change all of the things. But
yeah,
like I said, the gist is that, I think especially for WTC, looking for situations where you will just feel more practiced than your opponent is a pretty big deal. But overall, I think the character selection was solid. And even though like Psylocke always seems to kind of whiff for me a little bit, I still feel like she was a good overall pick. Maybe there's the argument that if I'm switching to the flip secure plan, that maybe I just switch that to Colossus just because he's faster. And he's definitely better at Mutant Madmen than she is.
Yeah.
But I mean, I still like Psylocke even when she doesn't perform for me like she does for everyone. Like, I still just conceptually get what she does on the table. But I also just felt like I was facing off against a lot of throws. All the fucking tables seemed like they had like 3 threes and 2 fours. And so just having another character that would be like a little less vulnerable to throws might
have been a himself. Smart.
Yeah, he can like throw some of the size threes himself. And so while I didn't miss Colossus, like I think if I shifted my plan, I think there's certainly reason that maybe I'm playing him over Psylocke, but there's been a lot of matchups in the past where I was just so happy to have her.
Yeah.
I would probably test things and see if there was enough setups that maybe I don't need Avengers to play X-Force on all of the flips. And mm-hmm. so if I can drop Sam, and then that frees up a slot for maybe Bill or whatever, that maybe that's a valid choice overall, to kind of like round out the roster. But also just realize how good Daredevil is. So I'd also be thinking about what sort of layouts facilitate me playing Daredevil more often. Mm-hmm.
So I guess one big thing that I think people would like to hear is, what is the biggest takeaways that you think you have for X-Force specifically within list building, what you want, what you wish you had because you couldn't get it? Case in point, probably Dynamo.
Yeah, Dynamo would be... Now, mind you, I didn't actually play in any of the situations. So not having Dynamo, I don't think actually impacted my games at all, because I would not have played Domino in any of my games. So even
but
if
outside
I
of WTC, it's like I want Domino because I can't fabricate my matches nearly as much.
Yeah. So one of my biggest takeaways, and this was probably like as being a team captain and handling like being like the primary person, like there was a lot of discussion with my team like during the matchup pairing process, because it's like, okay, we have these two. Like there was multiple times where I actually had the choice as to who faces me, because a lot of time what would happen is there was most rounds Danny and I went down first, and then they would get to choose which of their players is facing me or Danny, because it was something that the other three people that we wanted the good pairings for didn't want that matchup. Mm-hmm. And so we would drop me and Danny, and then they almost always chose Danny. And then it ended up being me, and then they would have put down two people. And the conversation was always kind of basically, team, which one of these do you want me to play? Which one do you want me taking off the table? And then that would just be the one that I would end up playing against. And so it was very rarely like, which one of these matchups do I prefer? But the core takeaway from this is that X-Force might have like the most like kind of median game where there aren't these slam dunk matchups, but there really aren't any like awful matchups either. Where I actually think that is a really good thing overall for X-Force. I think that's what you kind of look for if you want a list to go like 6-0, right? You want something where, worst case scenario, you're playing a 60-40 on the negative side, and even that's rare, and you're probably playing a 55-45, but that is an amount of variance that you can play around and try to outplay your opponent with the sort of practice that you have with your roster. And if you're not playing in the WTC format and you're not having someone like kind of actively, you're like, oh, here are my opponent, like here are the players who are more practiced against this sort of X-Force roster, and you're just getting random people who either have or have not played into your style of list. And when things are not skewed by like everybody's trying to figure out what to fucking do against Cosmic Ghost Rider, also kind of like hinders the attrition game plan. And so overall, I still feel good about X-Force. Mm-hmm. I do think the main thing that if I were an X-Force player right now is that I would start getting a little bit more outside the box, and like, X-Force is already kind of outside the box when it comes to crisis selection, but I would take maybe one further step outside the box and see if, like, step aside and not just go, what do I want to play with X-Force, but like, where can I create an advantage against a lot of the other popular teams? And with Web Warriors being super popular, Guardians being super popular, I do actually think that playing more of the flip secures is not necessarily a bad idea.
I don't disagree with that at all. I think the biggest thing that you said here that I 100% agree with, and I keep telling people this, is X-Force doesn't have, like, currently, X-Force does not have, like, a terrible matchup. Their worst is, it could go either way. I don't feel like I get dropped into a scenario where I'm like, this is terrible for me. There's times where I'm like, I'm kind of worried, but we'll see how it plays out. And that's like my favorite thing about X-Force right now is I don't find myself in any situation where I'm like at the drop of squad and crisis selection and all that, I'm just like, well, I might as well get a beer. I never have that feeling with X-Force now. And it's great. It's great being able to go have that feeling with X-Force where I'm like, yeah, what do you got? Like,
I agree that with that overall that I think what's really interesting about X-Force in this existing meta is that there isn't something that feels like really bad where you're like, I need to actively avoid this. That's going to be more dependent on your character selection. Mm-hmm. I will say, like, especially like, because I was thinking about Colossus and like, obviously I was playing Logan and I was playing X-23. One of the things that I was realizing is the list does feel a little vulnerable to characters getting thrown into other characters because you only have Brace once. Cable doesn't love shit being thrown into him. Psylocke really doesn't love shit getting thrown into him. Daredevil doesn't love shit getting thrown into him. X-23 counts as a size 3 when she gets thrown into your own characters.
Yeah, it hurts like, a little bit.
Colossus can be thrown. And so I do think there can be a consideration in the rest of your roster design. If you can work in characters like Luke Cage or other characters who are less vulnerable, you know, that maybe have invulnerability, that have 4 physical defense and are size 2s. And that's another reason why I think Bill can be a really good choice and maybe even more so than Crimson Dynamo. But because I do think the list can be a little vulnerable to itself being thrown into itself. Because one of your things, you're like, oh, well, Cable's like burning up some of the terrain, right? And so there's not as much terrain to get thrown. But when you're people. Playing against the fucking Hulks and shit, like if on both sides of the table, you have like an X-23 on this side and a Colossus on the other side or whatever, and they're hucking your characters into your other characters, that still gives them a size 3 throw. And so I think that is something that I think X-Force players are going to have to like solve for a bit. And how can you be a little less vulnerable?
Easy answer for that is Jean, but it's not an easy answer at the same time. She ain't she ain't
I
bad
definitely
now.
Agree that that's not an easy
but
answer.
It's hard to fit her and Cable, and then what you want for scenario. Because back to the whole scenario discussion is, in my opinion, your splashes dictate the way you go with your scenario. Either you're taking grunts or an eyes play or you're taking dynamo. What you're primarily have these. I really like the whole flip plan is kind of where I'm already at, where I'm taking 2 out of 3 flips.
And what's your second flip after meteors? You're playing portals.
Spider portals.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
So I want to say like part of why I shied away from Mutant Madmen is that I had felt maybe this was a little ways back where I felt like most of the lists in the game just kind of felt good at Mutant Madmen.
Yeah.
It didn't like I was playing X-Men on it and it had kind of hit a point where I didn't feel like I was getting a significant advantage. But I was really surprised that like when I got Mutant Madmen with this roster, I was like, oh my God, I just have so many tools for this.
Yeah. Like if you're running Colossus, I think for anybody who's listening, if you're playing X-Force and you're running Colossus, Mutant Madmen should be in your 3, in my honest opinion. He's so good at it.
Yeah, and like the ability for like Cable to counter the sort of plays of like someone coming after yours. I think I would almost certainly be playing Madmen again. It doesn't give you that same like midline pressure, but I think that's fine.
Yeah.
I feel like we've hit all of the key points. We didn't talk a ton about like how I would change it non-WTC, but that could always be a topic for down the road and we have a little bonus episode time. But did you have anything else that you wanted to ask before we wrap it up this episode?
No, that covers it all for me.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, how disappointed in my performance were you?
0. You went and you had fun and you had a wonderful time in Copenhagen. Like that's the point of these things. Yeah, you're going to play in a tournament and you're playing money to play in a tournament, but you're also on vacation in a different country having fun with friends. Like at the root of it, it's social experiences and that's why we game.
I mean, the social experiences were bomb and I'm like, I'm already planning to go back, even if it's in a content creator role, just because I had such a good time. They're like, I mean, I love LVO and I love Adepticon, but to a certain extent, no American event will ever compete with the feeling of being able to go over and meet people from a bunch of different countries, and where the majority is not American. It's so different and so special. That nothing else can quite replace that. Like, it's also got me thinking that I would really like to go over for maybe like a York Weekender, one of those events or something like that.
Yeah.
Would be a blast.
I think the biggest thing, like, when you think about like disappointed in like the weekend, is like, yes, it feels good to win, but I think if you look back at it and you have no regrets and you enjoyed yourself, then there's nothing to be disappointed with, even if you went 0-5. Like, if you had fun, you enjoyed yourself, and you have no regrets at all. Like,
yeah, I still, again, as I said at the beginning, like, I went 2-3, but I don't actually think I was in any, like, bad matchups. Mm-hmm. I think if one was a bad matchup, like, maybe it was the Guardians matchup. But also, I fucking took Guardians for the team. So
that's the thing, too, is WTC, you're going to have people who take losses because you wanted your pinch hitters to like absolutely slam dunk stuff. Baseball and like, basketball right there.
The goal is to get Amon, Alec, and Blair into good matchups. And they went 5-0, 4-1, 4-1. And like, Alec was like a fucking nut hair away from being 5-0 as well. And like, that was the goal. And I think, I don't think I would do anything different with the pairing process. That part, I feel like we actually did very good on. I think I should have been more, I should have made an increased effort to get more games in with my roster. And I wish that I had changed the crisis selection plan. But outside of that, like, it was just such a blast. And like, I had a blast in all five of my games. All five of my games were great, super fun games. Even like the losses, like two of those losses were so close and interesting. Like, they were the sort of thought provoking game that you just love to be a part of. So, well, Dizzard, you kind of own this episode. Do you want me to close it out, or do you want to close it out?
Oh, you're the guest. The guest is supposed to close it out.
Oh, the guest is supposed to close it out. Okay. Well, I will say the most OP thing that you can do is have Dizzard host your podcast so that you don't have to. Later.
It's what the people wanted.